And I want to welcome everybody here today, and we continue our study on spiritual warfare. But again, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of you who are moms, for those who are here with us, to those out there worshiping with us online. Happy Mother's Day to you, and hope that your day will be a very special and blessed day. And again, if you didn't hear me earlier in the announcement time, we do have a gift for all of our moms and those who are not here with us today. Physically, we'll hold those for you, and you can pick them up when you come the next time that you're able to be with us. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. Okay, May the 24th, Brian will be speaking that Sunday morning for us. And also that afternoon, 5 o'clock, he's going to be showing this movie, An Interview with God. We'll be right here in the auditorium, 5 o'clock. However, we will not be serving any popcorn or anything for that. If you want to bring your own, then you can do that. But we're just not going to be serving it from one source or what have you. So, again, keep that in mind. For that. And again, as any gathering that we have, we want to remind people of social distancing and wearing face masks for that, including for this movie. Okay, I need everybody, especially those of you who are online with us this morning, to listen to our plans, because we've made some adjustments to these. According to the governor's new order, phase one, which will be starting next Friday, there are some changes that we are making to what we're doing here. So beginning May 17th, which is next Sunday, all of our members are welcome to attend worship services. The governor's order says that churches can assemble, but only to 50% of their capacity. Well, our membership here does not reach 50% of our building capacity. So everybody, we can have everybody here spread out the way that we've been doing, but we certainly can do that. So everyone is welcome to begin coming back to worship next Sunday with us here. Our ladies' Bible class that we have on Fridays, it's a small group of ladies. I think there's only about four or five of them that meet. They began that last week, and so that Bible class is continuing on with that. As I mentioned a moment ago, our family movie this month will be the fourth Sunday, not the third, but we'll be doing that May the 24th, okay? Our regular Bible classes, and this is something that I need you to be aware of here, our regular Sunday morning and Wednesday evening Bible studies will begin or resume Wednesday Bible study on June the 3rd. And then our Sunday morning Bible study on June the 7th. So keep that in mind. We're going to begin those studies again. Both of those studies, we will not be meeting in the back of the auditorium as we traditionally have. We're going to meet up here where we can spread all around the auditorium here, have plenty of social distancing and so forth. But those studies will resume on June 3rd for Wednesday night Bible study and June 7th for Sunday morning Bible study. On a Wednesday Bible study, what we're going to do is everybody will meet in here in this part of the auditorium to begin with, as we traditionally have done. The ladies will have their Bible class in the fellowship hall, where they have plenty of room to spread out and do social distancing. The men will remain here in the auditorium. So keep that in mind again, June the 3rd and June the 7th for resuming those Bible classes. And as we've been saying all along, we want to encourage you to continue with the phone calls, the notes, the prayers for all of our folks. So please keep those things up. Now, a couple of other things. And I took the one off of here about the live streaming. We've been doing that for several years. That's not going to stop. We're going to continue live streaming worship at 10:30 every morning. But those who are attending, and again, we're already doing that now, those who are attending are asked to wear a mask and keep 6-foot social distancing. All right, so just please keep that in mind as you come back and be able to worship with us. Those who are at high risk, OK, Okay, if you are, again, those who are worshiping with us online this morning, listen to this. If you are at high risk, then you are asked to consider the risk that you are taking before attending in person. We're leaving that up to you. You are welcome to be here, but we want you to consider your situation, your personal situation, and I'll use that to determine whether you should be in a group of folks and so forth. So that's another thing there. If you feel sick, or if you have any of the symptoms of this virus, please stay home. Okay? We're asking you to do that for everybody's sake. So far, I don't know of anybody in our church family that has had the coronavirus. God has blessed us greatly in that way. But, you know, as we go along and we start, you know, coming back together again, we need to encourage folks. If you feel that you may be having some symptoms, you have a high fever or any of those others, then please stay home and worship with us online. All right? Another thing, if you have been in contact with someone that you know has the COVID-19, please stay away for at least a 14-day quarantine period. All right, so we're asking you to do that. As we come back together again physically, we're getting everybody back. These are things we're asking you to please keep in consideration so that we don't end up having a problem where we get somebody infected. Okay, and then just a note for you that the individual communion packs that we are currently using, we're going to continue using those for the foreseeable future. In other words, one of the things that you will not see us doing anytime soon is passing the communion plates and the contribution plate baskets and so forth. They will be continuing for some time using the individual packets that we have for that. So just to be aware of that practice. We're going to do everything we can. We want to be back together again as soon as we can, but at the same time, we want to practice as much safety as we can so that we can prevent anything from happening. So those are the updated plans that we have going forward in view of the governor's new order. Again, all this kind of starts taking place next Sunday, these changes and all. So please keep all of that in mind, all right? As far as our contributions, again, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been so generous in your contributions during this time. Thank you for that. And as Dale said, we still continue to function and do things that need to be done and taking care of one another. So you can, those of you who are not here with us physically, make a contribution. You can do it in a couple of ways. You can pay by PayPal. The place to go on PayPal is edgehillpaypal@gmail.com. Now, I do want to emphasize to you, if you pay by PayPal, there's two choices. You can select a send money to a friend, I think is how it's worded, or you can select purchasing something. You want to select the send money to a friend option. If you select the purchase option, then PayPal takes out a certain percentage of that for their fee. If you're sending money to a friend, they do not take that percentage out. So keep that in mind if you're paying, if you're making a contribution by PayPal. The other way, of course, you can do that is just simply by snail mail, put it in the mail and send it to us. And we certainly, again, I want to emphasize how generous everybody has been, and we thank you for your contributions and helping us to continue through all of this particular time. Okay, we're talking about spiritual warfare. This morning, lesson number 4 in this series, we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness, all right? And we began this study talking about this statement, war is hell, okay? And we've began focusing on what is the relationship between war and hell. In spiritual warfare, we need to understand and keep in mind that, yes, indeed, there is a war going on. It's happening right now. It's taking place right now, and every single one of us is in it. It is not simply a world war. Even like this coronavirus pandemic is a world war event, so to speak, as some have it. It's a war against the pandemic. This is a universal war, okay? And everybody is in this war. Whether they realize it or not, they are in this war. We help one another, we encourage one another, we fight for one another and with one another, but we need to understand that this war is individually won or lost. And nobody can win or lose this war for anyone else. Okay? It is individually won or lost. And that's the part about war and the relationship between war and hell. Winning or losing is truly about heaven or hell. Okay? Most people are going to lose this war. And many because they don't even realize that they're at war. They're totally oblivious to the fact of spiritual warfare and that they are in the midst of it. Part of our job is to share that message with folks to get them to awaken them, to help them to understand the nature of spiritual warfare and to help them to be able to become victorious in this war. Our study thus that we've been doing on this, we began by talking about and understanding the nature of spiritual warfare, that it is spiritual, not physical in nature. It is not a conventional war like we have fought throughout our history. The second thing we focused on was talking about understanding who the enemy really is. We need to make sure that we know the real enemy. And then we talked about the fact that the enemy is not a flesh and blood enemy. Okay? The enemy is Satan and the powers that are at work for him. Okay? And then in this part of our study, where we are right now, is preparing ourselves, making sure we are prepared for battle by being able to recognize and effectively use the various pieces of armor that God has provided for us so that we can be victorious in this battle. So let's talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Let me ask you this question. What are you hungry for? Okay? Stouffer's asks that question in their advertisement. What are you hungry for? And they have a whole variety of different meals that you can get to satisfy your hunger. The question is, what are you hungry for? Another advertisement asks this. I don't know if some of you may remember this or not. It goes way, way back. What are you hungry for when you don't know what you're hungry for? The answer to that is something on a Ritz. Okay? Something on a Ritz. What are you hungry for when you don't know what you're hungry for? We're talking about being hungry, okay, or thirsty for righteousness. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at this. We need to understand what this righteousness is and the idea of again, what are you hungry for? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for righteousness? Okay? Well, in order to really answer that question, we got to answer this question. What is righteousness? When Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," do we really understand what he's saying there? What is righteousness? Well, the best definition that I have ever heard for righteousness is this: do what's right regardless. Okay? Do what's right regardless. That's righteousness. And that's regardless of what anybody else thinks or what anybody else is saying, regardless of what anybody else is doing, regardless of any, you know, criticism or anything else that you may face, any opposition that you may face, regardless of that, do what's right. That, I believe, is one of the best definitions that there is for righteousness. To be willing and to do what is right no matter what. The breastplate of righteousness God has given to us to help us in our hunger and our thirst for that righteousness. A breastplate of righteousness in place, he says. As we hunger and as we thirst for that righteousness. Okay? The wise man in Proverb 21 says it this way, whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Pursues. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, says this, flee the evil desires of youth, and again, there it is, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pursue righteousness. I can't think of a better way to put it than as Jesus said, who hunger and thirst. I think that's what it means, to pursue it. That we want that righteousness so bad, we're so hungry and so thirsty for it that we go after it. Which is different than the idea of just kind of sitting back waiting for it to arrive. Pursue it. Go after it. Chase it down. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, in talking about, you know, worrying about all the different things that we need in life and so forth, what does he say to us? In verse 33 of chapter 6, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. All those things that we tend to worry about, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear, and all those kinds of things, he says, don't worry about that stuff. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all those other things will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. Apostle Paul in Romans 6 tells us, those who belong to Christ, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You see, there's one or the other. We are either slaves to sin or we are slaves to righteousness. You can't be a slave to both. And when you are in Christ Jesus, you have been set free from sin. But you have put yourself into bondage to Christ righteousness. A slave of righteousness. Here's another thing that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount about righteousness. Not only are we to hunger and thirst for it, but look at what he says. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So another thing we have to understand about this righteousness is that when we do what's right regardless, we're going to face opposition. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to have problems. And that's why I think the definition that I gave you is so important, that it's do what's right regardless. Okay? Knowing that we're going to be persecuted for doing what is right, you do what's right anyway. And Jesus said, for those who do that, who are persecuted because of righteousness, the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. You see, we need to understand this. Christians are not called to be comfortable. And that's a problem for a lot of us. We want to be comfortable. We want life to be easy. We want it to be nice. We want it to be no problems. But God did not call us to be comfortable. He called us to be righteous. And when we are seeking, when we are hungering and thirsting, when we are pursuing righteousness, we're going to run into opposition and problems and persecution. We need to be aware of that. But we need to, being aware of it, do what's right regardless. All right? Let me ask you this question. Got credit? There's a lot of advertisements on TV these days about credit. Good credit, bad credit, and all those things. which one do you have? And that's the challenge. The advertisers want you to look at your credit. You can go online and check out your credit score, okay, and see what it is. What kind of credit do you have? And then there's this chart that lists, you know, there's this range from 500 to 850, wherever you are, your FICO score, okay, determines what kind of credit you have. Now, if you have bad credit for whatever the reason, you can go on to Experian Boost, they advertise, and increase your FICO score instantly. And not only that, you can do it for free. Okay? And boy, we all like free, right? Okay? So you can go online to Experian Boost and increase your credit score so you can get better, have a better credit rating than what you may currently have. People are all concerned about their credit rating. Because, of course, it has to do with whether you can borrow with money for this or that and so on and so forth, right? So a credit rating is important. But let's talk about a different kind of credit. Let's talk about being credited as righteousness, right? We've talked about Abraham so much in this whole concept of Abraham's obedience to God, where James tells us, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Right? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Verse 22. And verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. Now, you may or may not be concerned about your FICO score, your credit score in terms of finances, but I'm going to tell you what, this is a credit score that you need to be concerned about. You need to be paying attention to, okay? We need to be striving to be like Abraham, if you will, where our obedience to God will be credited to us as righteousness, okay? By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And look at this. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. And that's what Abraham did. Because he believed God, he embraced God's promises. And that allowed him then to do what God told him to do. And the Bible says that was credited to him as righteousness. Okay? He got credit, in other words, for what he did, not just for his faith. He believed the promises of God and acted on that belief, is what James is telling us here. So therefore, another aspect of righteousness is this. It's acting on God's promises. Okay? Acting on God's promises. So, when it comes to this kind of credit, bad credit is not okay. Okay? You following me? Bad credit, when it comes to righteousness, is not okay. When it comes to your finances, and there are people out there that say, good credit, bad credit, it's okay, we don't care, we'll loan you the money anyway, they're going to take a risk on you. Not so when it comes to this kind of credit. Do we believe and have we embraced the promises of God such that we live in obedience to Him? And that living, that obedience, is credited to us as righteousness. And then finally, let's talk about heart matters. Okay? This is a picture of a Roman soldier's breastplate of armor. Okay? And if you just picture that piece of armor on a soldier, it is covering the vital organs of that soldier, and primarily the heart. All right? That's what it does. It covers this part of the body, the vital organs. They need to be protected. Notice that Paul says, and we'll kind of put together a puzzle here in this particular graphic here. He says, stand then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Okay? The righteousness guards against the direct attacks on our heart. That's one of the things that it does. When you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, okay, then that helps to guard your heart. Another thing that it says, when Jesus has control of our heart, it's protected from attack. So who's sitting on the throne of your heart? You see? If it's Jesus, right, then you've got protection. If it's you or something or someone else, then you're very, very vulnerable to attack. The wise man in Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We'll talk about that more in just a few moments. Guard your heart. We need to understand that this righteousness is not something that we produce on our own, but rather it is something that God gives us. You see, we don't have the capacity to be righteous in and of ourselves. Apostle Paul, as we saw a moment ago in Romans 6:18, says, you have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. So a question we need to ask ourselves is, are you willing to be a slave to righteousness? And Abraham, as we've seen, believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So when we stand with the breastplate of righteousness in place, these are some of the concepts or ideas that go along with that. And why that breastplate of righteousness is so important to us to protect the vital organs, spiritually, especially our heart. What about this righteousness? We need to talk about this part. Unless your righteousness exceeds, Jesus said to us, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless it exceeds their righteousness. Well, what does all of that mean? Well, we need to understand, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, the scribes and the Pharisees, carried their righteousness basically on the outside. They did everything for show. Okay? It was all visual. It was all outside. It was all external. Verses 1 through 7 of Matthew 23, Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do because they do not practice what they preach. Everything they do is done for men to see, Jesus says. It's all external. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. It's all done for show. They love the place of honor at the banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. Jesus said of them, these people, these men honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Well, what does all of that really mean? Well, it's basically the idea of the external versus the internal. Okay? Theirs, Jesus is proclaiming, was an external righteousness. It wasn't sincere. It was just for show, to impress people. In order for our righteousness to exceed theirs, as Jesus tells us that it must, then it's got to come from the heart. It's got to be internal, not just an external show. If our heart isn't in it, our righteousness is empty and vain. Okay? Heartless obedience will keep one from heaven, in other words. So what does all of that have to do with this righteousness we're talking about? This breastplate of righteousness that is there to, as we saw a moment ago, the wise man telling us, to guard our heart. Okay? We've got to guard our heart, because everything we do has got to come from the heart, or just don't even bother to do it. See? Again, there's that proverb. Notice that he starts with that saying, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else. Make sure that you're guarding your heart. Because you can be doing all kinds of other things, but if you're not guarding your heart, then likely the problem you're going to have is that you're doing all of those things you're doing for show. It's on the exterior, not on the interior. Notice that he says here, for everything you do flows from the heart. So we need then that breastplate of righteousness in place to guard our heart, so that we are living in obedience and holding on to God's promises and living in obedience to Him. Okay. Being credited as righteous in God's sight. Having, in other words, a good credit score with God, if you will. You see? That's why we need the breastplate of righteousness in place. We truly are, as we've been saying all along, in the fight of our lives. This is war. And we have got to resist. We've got to overcome Satan. We've got to defeat him. And the only way we do that is by wearing and using the armor that God has given to us. All right? So, keeping that in mind, Tom has a song that he selected for us to use as an invitation song. And we offer this opportunity, of course, for anyone that is here. If there's a need that you have that we can help to fulfill, that we can help take care of, all you got to do is let us know that. And, of course, I'll be right here in front for anyone to come and let me know what we can do, whether it be prayers, petitions, whatever your need is that we can help you with. For those of you who are worshiping with us on the live stream, again, we offer the invitation to you as well. You have the opportunity where you can, if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, you can text either Dale at the phone number on there or Wes at the phone number listed for him. You can do that while we're singing this song. You can send in your prayer request and we will address that. But there's another important aspect of this invitation time, and that is that it's also a time for anyone who is not yet a Christian, that is desiring to become a Christian, for you to do so. Now, again, everyone that is here this morning with us physically in this room is already a Christian. But I have no doubt that there are folks out here that are with us online this morning, some that are not Christians. That maybe you've been struggling with what to do with your life and whether or not to give your life to Christ. If you've come to a point where you are now ready to give your life to Christ, you can do that right now. All you need to do is recognize and acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And all you need to do to have that happen is to call or text either one of those phone numbers. You can call me personally. My number is on the website that you're watching right now. And just let us know that you have a desire to become a Christian, and we will, as soon as possible, we'll get you here where we can baptize you into Christ Jesus, and you can become His child today. You don't have to wait for anything. So all you got to do is let us know that that's your desire to do at this time in your life. So the invitation is extended again to anyone. Text either Dale or Wes and let them know what your prayer request is, and let us know how we might serve you. Those of you who are here with us, invite you to stand and sing as we have an invitation song. Those who are at home, you don't have to stand. You can if you want to at home. You can stand, you can sit, you can, but you can join us and sing along with us. Let's stand together and sing. Tom?